Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. I will try to be low voice tonight if I can remember this because my voice gets weak as the show goes and I'm sure it will be the case also tonight and maybe it will be a short show but I'll try to do as much as I can with my cough drops. How are you doing people of the regular chat? Today we will be reviewing The Died Suddenly documentary, although yesterday I bashed on it and said I didn't want to listen to it. I realized it was my responsibility. H says, no sound. This should be fixed. Have you refreshed your browser? I think I should have fixed it. Is there anyone else on the chat who can inform us whether there's sound? With my cough drops because are you doing people it's fixed says H Unk. Okay, it is now fixed for everyone. All right, I mean Odyssey has to work on, they have to fix this. It's a freaking problem that shows on every single stream. People don't get the audio on the stream. We have to refresh, we have to reset. How the fuck can you be a streaming platform that doesn't have audio on every iteration of the first stream of the night? How does that happen? How is there not a priority to develop something against it? Holy shit! Kaufman, get to work! How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I'll be commenting on Died Suddenly at the end of the show. We will be commenting on the news first because I find the news exciting. Former worker speaks out. We now have footage of who it was that was silencing people at Twitter. People like Papa JF. Who was clicking on the button?
In her San Francisco home, with some moral support from her dog Biscuit, Melissa Engel follows the rapid-fire changes at her former employer.
On the current path, I'm really, really worried about Twitter's future.
On November 12th, she learned she'd been let go first by...
a loner with a dog. That's why they were attacking me. They have nothing else to do. They have a dog as a friend. And... These people were deciding that you shouldn't hear what I have to say.
By losing access to her accounts, then an email. She says other former full-time employees have told her they had to sign an NDA to get their severance benefits. But because she was a contract worker, that doesn't apply to her, so she's speaking out.
I'm not given a severance package. They can't take that away from me, and I think people need to know about this situation.
The layoffs, followed by an employee exodus, came just days before Elon Musk reinstated former President Donald Trump's account Saturday evening. Cal State East Bay professor Grant Keehan says the move appears strategic.
He gets to say that he's rescuing democracy and reintroducing a certain type of political discourse on Twitter, even while it overshadows, for the moment, some of the really tough news that...
We don't have to care about the news being tough for you. Of course, the news is tough for you. You've been silencing a part of humanity. You've been silencing half of the American people.
People at Twitter have had in the past couple of weeks.
While the focus might be on Trump's account now, Keehan notes that the absence of employees like Engel who checked content will shape users' experience on Twitter.
Oh no, we have lost a great contribution to Twitter. Someone who checked content.
Those losses of personnel are going to be felt.
Just over time, these things build up and the site will be...
Yeah, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel that there's now not just agreement around you in the world. You will be confronted with reality. Hopefully you feel it.
Become more abusive, more extreme, and less reliable over time.
Alyssa Gore.
Well, if it's less reliable, go use something else. But your presence on Twitter, the presence of people like you on Twitter, was... That you guys were demanding that we stop existing. That's the only problem that's ever been. You can always come back to Twitter and say whatever you want and block whoever you want if you feel that they're abusive. The problem is that Twitter would throw abuse at me and Twitter would do nothing about it, but Twitter would then throw abuse at people like you, and then Twitter would ban a bunch of people randomly associated with so-called abuse, which at this point you've redefined abuse to mean a different political opinion than yours, or a different definition of woman than yours. So at this point, your definition of abuse is the exact same as disagreement with you. So I'm glad that these people are coming out, because we get to see just how much of a shit show as Elon put his foot into. And there is still much work. Now, I'm super encouraged by the news today, because Elon Musk has done something major. Elon Musk tweeted, look at this, should Twitter offer a general amnesty to suspended accounts provided that they have not broken the law or engaged in egregious spam? General amnesty. This is what I've been asking for. It's even better than I was asking for. I was asking for a specific list of many, many people that need to be unbanned. But general amnesty would be almost everyone. That is absolutely perfect. And the result of the vote is something like 75% yes, 25% no. So, and there's already 2 million votes in. So it looks like this vote will win a general amnesty at Twitter. That would be an absolute victory. We could come back in glory and fun, and everyone would be welcome back at the same time. That would be absolutely great. I'm so white-pilled by this news for as far as the quest of Elon goes. We learn more about what's motivating Elon. Right now, Elon is basically going in a campaign against the ADL. This is what's happening. He is personally frustrated because he had a meeting with the ADL and they had come up with the commitment, we're not going to interfere with your advertisers. We're not going to ask them to crash down Twitter. And in exchange, you commit that you will have a process to bring people back on board. We learned that Elon Musk has felt that the negative comments of the ADL were a breach of this deal. He says they have unilaterally broken the deal with me. And so that's why there's no process. That's why we see manual revival of accounts. It's because Elon is on a path of vengeance. That is absolutely beautiful. He's on a path of vengeance because they had told him, if you do this, we will respect your advertisers and ask them to continue. But they went after him. They went after him anyway. And so right now, all of the unbanning that you've seen is because Elon is like, I'm not bound to any promise anymore. And now, the voice of the people had been voting for Trump to be back. He brought Trump back. What does that tell you about his action after this vote? If it's 75% yes, it's even more solid than bring Trump back. People want the people who have been oppressed to be back on the platform. I'm pretty sure that following this survey, we should expect a true general amnesty. Now, there are some questions left. What does he mean by if they have not been engaging in egregious spam? The problem is the false reason they banned me from Twitter is they claim that I had violated a spam rule, which I never did. Now, was this egregious spam? I cannot know because you guys know I don't do spam. I publish the links of my show on an everyday basis, but that's it. So what is egregious spam? And hopefully he's not going to use this umbrella term to keep some people like Keith Woods and I out, just because the old leftist team that banned us used this as an excuse. Hopefully that's not what happens. Some random bloke has sent a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, "Died suddenly is being flagged as misinformation by Twitter. P.S. E. Michael Jones just got back on Twitter. Time to get you back on, JF." Well, that's good to know that E. Michael Jones is back. And yes, that would be like, I see that Sargon is back. Sargon has used racial terms that I have never used on Twitter. We see that E. Michael Jones is back. E. Michael Jones is a much more radical thinker than me, you know, in some ways, at least in some directions. And so those are good news. Those are good news because it means I'm within the space of those who can survive, who can be reinstated. Ariel Suarez says, "JF, I'm not convinced. Just prepare for the possibility of disappointment." Well, I've always prepared for it, but at this point, I think it's becoming less and less likely. I mean, when you have a E. Michael Jones back on the platform, I didn't know. Thanks for informing me about it. You have to give some respect here to Elon Musk. I mean, this looks like some serious resurrection of accounts. End of the line. Joel says, "Will the right wing still use Gab?" Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think Gab will die from it. I think they may see a lowering of use for a moment if this unbanning is massive and instantaneous. But the thing is, there is still speech on Gab. Most of the speech that I see wouldn't be available to make on Twitter, I'm sure. So I think there will always be a niche and a place for Gab, and it will always be the backup of many people. You know, you never know if Twitter will go crazy again at some point. It's been taken over before. It can be taken over in the future. I expect Gab will not be long-term affected toward the negative by this. Will have a role. It will be a smaller role, though, than what could have been, which is if Twitter had become continuously more and more woke, eventually Gab might have been the only social media for free speech. Whereas with Twitter under Elon Musk, Twitter might be the dominant free speech option and Gab an alternative. I don't know. We'll see. I will certainly continue preferring Gab as my second platform. I certainly prefer Gab to Getter, to Truth Social. Those are the platforms that will take huge hits. They will take big, big hits. Some random bloke says, "Twitter is making the ADL famous. I knew lots of people who didn't even know what the ADL was before this. Tide could be turning against them." At some point, the ADL is going to have to make the calculation. Are we self-destroying if we continue on the line of complaining against things that people obviously don't want? For example, there's the survey says 75% of the people are for a general amnesty from the accounts that were banned. Are you sure you want to go against 75% of the people? Are you sure you want this to be your position? At some point, you're going to be losing massive support and you're going to be losing your standing in the public eye. This was the tweet from Elon Musk explaining, "A large coalition of political/social activist groups agreed not to try to kill Twitter by starving us of advertising revenue. If I agreed to this condition, they broke the deal. So that's why Elon Musk isn't respecting his promise. It's because he doesn't feel bound by the promise anymore. I hadn't realized this before, but it's now happening. And I'm happy then, because I thought that Elon was being inconsistent and he was hovering between the dark and light forces. But the reality is he was just felt bound by a promise, but they broke their side of the promise. So he just dumped, he unleashed the most freeing of Twitter that he could do as a response to their breach of their side of the contract. Someone is saying, as JF commented on the Furentes with Ye crossover. Well, the thing is, Kanye West was headed to Mar-a-Lago yesterday. And Right Wing Watch reports, on his way to meet Trump at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, Kanye West was filmed walking through Miami's airport with misogynistic, anti-Semitic, white nationalist, Christian fascist incel Nick Fuentes. This could be parody. Do you really need to, when you have that much label, you have to start choosing. Misogynistic, anti-Semitic, white nationalist, Christian, fascist, incel, Nick Ferret. I can't believe the world has come to this. Anyways. Is it Nick Fuentes, though? I mean, it could be. I don't deny this. But it could be someone else that just happens to look like Nick Fuentes, it seems. I guess it could be. But I don't particularly... I cannot affirm for sure that it's Nick Fuentes. And in another video, it's clear though that Milo Yiannopoulos was hanging out at the Ye headquarters and they were... Okay, so Carlo Maxworth says Nick posted the vid on his Telegram. Maybe it is him. Anyways, I'm pretty sure though that Milo Yiannopoulos was with Kanye a couple of days ago at his headquarters, looking at the possibility of being his campaign manager for the electoral campaign of 2024. Now, okay, so Kanye would be in a kind of triangular association with Milo Yiannopoulos, Nick Fuentes. But that looks like a troll operation. Now, it's very... I don't know. It looks like a very unproductive trolling operation. Kanye says... What do you guys think President Trump's response was when I asked him to be my running mate in 2024? It would be hilarious if Trump took Kanye as a vice president running mate, but I don't think it will happen. I think Trump really doesn't like the being perceived as an enemy of the Jewish people, and with Kanye's recent statement, I'd be very surprised if Trump... I'd be very surprised if Trump did this. So what will be the point of this? It will be like Milo Yiannopoulos, tour of America, which had a certain name that I will not repeat. It will be a useless self-aggrandizement opportunity for Kanye, Nick, and Milo to try to meme like back in the 2016. It's not interesting. It's going... Yeah, John Drake says, yep, looks like Milo is still LARPing. That's the problem. I mean, so what? We're going to have more mimetics. It's probably going to suck. It's not going to lead to a political movement of any kind. It's barely going to educate anyone. So what is the point of all this? There was a Walmart shooter, Andre Bing, Walmart shooter. He was a... he has shot 6 people, I believe, that died. And there are some injuries, certainly. Andre Bing was a overnight work shift guy, a manager at the Walmart. People were calling him Looney, and they had the impression that one day he was going to crack. Here's a video of him taken earlier.
Right here.
We were driving in the back.
We was driving in the back, and I was parking it and everything.
I must have been my day off.
Matter of fact, it's more fun than driving a car to me.
That's the guy. So seems like a black guy, but with a Chinese name, Bing.
Yeah, they have those in the GNV store. That's all they eat.
Facebook Live, and that's Andre. Support man.
Yeah. Remember that? It was nice. It was
when
fun.
Did I bring it here?
Yeah,
we were driving in.
Okay, so that was just earlier video of him. It's not clear what was the motivation for why you shot people. Sometimes people have paranoia. Sometimes they have hate for the people they worked with, hate for the customers. Could be that kind of issues that led him to take a weapon and do that shooting. One moment, I'll be back in 5 seconds. All right, I'm trying to survive through the show as much as I can. Today I went to the dentist, pretty happy with my teeth repair. It's the first time I enjoy going to the dentist, because I used to go to the dentist and have this idea of the dentist as a healthcare person who would moralize me. Like the dentist when I was young was always like, have you done your floss? And now I'm an adult, and for the first time in my life, I went to the dentist with the idea, I'm going there to increase my comfort of life. It's not health care, it's I want comfort. It's like I'm going to buy a chair that is comfortable. I'm going to go buy a cavity filling that is comfortable. I thought of it from a capitalist perspective. And everyone in the process, the lady at the counter, the nurse or whatever assistant, the dentist himself, none of them were moralizing. They were all like, oh yeah, we're going to give you the service you pay for and bye-bye, and you're going to live a happier life. I love it. I love it. That's exactly the kind of dentistry I want. I don't want a dentistry of, you know how fluoride is important and blah, 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 and don't eat too much sugar. I've changed my perspective on dentistry, and I'm now happy about it. Anti-Twitter advertisers have been underperforming the market for months. Here's your chance to short them. So the thing is, the leftists are making a very bizarre bet here. Do they really think they're going to crash down Twitter? If Twitter says we're offering free speech and we're a free speech platform and they do it for real, there's no way even getting half the companies stopping their advertisements, you're not going to kill Twitter. People are going to be so enthusiastic about Twitter. Eventually, other companies will seep in and try to get advertiser. If you get eyes and if you have consumers on Twitter, people will want to be on Twitter. And companies that don't want to be there will be self-destroying from a public access perspective. So yes, you can now short. They have a list of companies that are threatening or pulling their advertisements out of Twitter. You can short them if you want to bet against them. Why isn't Sam Bankman-Fried in handcuffs yet? Of course, we all know the answer to this. The leftists have been complaining against the wrongdoings of Trump. But the Trump corruption, if you want to call it that, even the allegations, none of it was as grave as claiming that Trump stole something like between $8 and $10 billion in a massive fraud that has scammed millions of people. Yet this is what's happening with SBF, and we still don't have arrests. We don't have serious signs that the Americans are going to be able to put their hands on him. Liberals warn Elon Musk for signaling he might reinstate all banned accounts. Twitter will be swimming in Nazis. Oh my God, the great threats. Meanwhile, Elon Musk has turned off the Twitter corporate credit cards. Corporate credit cards for Twitter employees have also been shut off. Three of the people said. One worker said she tried to buy farewell drinks for colleagues after the mass layoffs, only to have her corporate credit card declined at the bar. Man, these people were living a crazy lifestyle. At the bar in San Francisco, drinks, it's gonna be like $15 a piece. They were putting this on the Twitter credit card while they were censoring everyone. You cannot give them a credit card in your corporate name. These people are going to abuse it for sure. Anti-Twitter advertisers have been... Oh no, this one I read already. A few last news items before I give my comments on the Died Suddenly movie. No Frog Eyes, you didn't miss it. I'm going to be starting soon. Holds of outrage after New York Times confirms SBF to speak alongside Zelensky and Yellen. So apparently this is still going on. I was laughing at the fact that these speakers were aligned, including SBF, but I didn't know. There's no plan for cancellation. It's actually going to happen. I'll be speaking, says SBF, I'll be speaking with Andrew Workin at the Deal Book Summit next Wednesday. Unbelievable. A lot of folks have been asking if I would still be interviewing SBF. The answer is yes. So for the people asking, why is this guy still speaking after committing such a massive fraud? The answer is the massive fraud was in line with what the elites getting this guy to speak wanted. So from their perspective, it's not a fraud. It's exactly what they wanted to happen. Money laundering opportunity, ruining the crypto space to justify further legislation, and making piles of Bitcoin in the process that we still don't know exactly where they will end. Absolutely disgusting. Let's get started on talking about Died Suddenly. Died Suddenly is this documentary about the vaccine. And it's based mostly around these morticians and the finding of blood clots. Or they say it's not blood clots because they're not made of blood, but these white fibrous structures that have been circulating in conspiracy websites and anti-vax websites and Gab, and I've been seeing them every day. And yesterday, that's why I was saying how annoyed I was at the idea of watching Died Suddenly. It's because the problem with these fibrous structure is I would want to see some scientific data. I would want to see, importantly, scientific data linking the vaccinated status to having those fibrous structure. Because without this, all I see is a bunch of morticians finding some weird fibrous structures in people's veins. There is no way for me to know, is that linked to the vaccine? There's not even a way for me to know if the fibrous structure you're showing me comes from a vaccinated or an unvaccinated body. So, you know, there could be changes in humanity that leads to a phenomenon that you may not have observed before. Suddenly you start observing it. Could be changes of temperature, changes of ways of life, could be a new virus out there. There's all sorts of alternative explanations to white fiber structures that could show in people's body, which could be easily pushed on the side if you had given me data of the kind. This is people that were vaccinated. This is people that were unvaccinated. And look, these people have more fiber structure than these people. They haven't even done this. They show in the movie that the mortician guy has a little Excel sheet and he's keeping notes of, okay, this guy was unvaccinated. This guy I'm not sure. This guy I knew was vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. So the guy is collecting some data, but we don't get to see the data. So what do I do with a documentary that doesn't give me access to the data that it claims to have, where it makes affirmative statements about all this, where I would want to see the numbers? That's what's annoying to me. And to be clear, I don't like the vax. I don't like the moralization around it. I would want people to accept living through the risk of disease without necessarily having precautions taken in the form of the vax, which sometimes the precaution come with more risks and more unknowns than the disease itself, especially for young people. So I take issue with everything with the vax, and I would love a good anti-vax documentary to be made. But this is not it. This is not solid enough. Now, the documentary comes with very good aspects. The documentary shows some videos of vaccine injuries, people suffering from massive disorders as a consequence of the vaccine. I think it's good that the viewer will see this. But I think there's too much lack of seriousness in the approach to data and too much lack of seriousness in how they bring other subjects also, that ultimately will push away a relatively middle-of-the-ground intelligent viewer. And there's the problem. This movie will not be a force of convincing the normies. Someone who would be swayable one way or the other will be alarmed at some of the practices of the movie. So let's get through all my comments. The intro shows stuff that is supposed to be fake. And some of the stuff I obviously agree. Weapons of mass destruction. Okay, that's fake. That was fake. But then the problem is the intro then shows you something like the moon landing being fake. But it shows the moon landing and the guy descending on the ladder. And then oops, suddenly the guy falls off the ladder and is at the bottom. Which I believe in the conspiratorial world is a suggestion that, you know, the moon isn't this big ball in the sky, that the moon landing was faked in a studio, and that the guy fell the ladder because he was subjected to the Earth gravity. The problem being, this is ridiculous. You can see on the very video that there's kind of a frame shift, that basically it's not that the guy fell, it's that the video was poorly shaken from one frame to the other, which gives an illusion that something abnormal has happened. Why would you show me a moon landing is fake type of clip at the beginning of a movie where you're asking me to think about the vaccine and its dangers? By combining these ideas, annihilated your chance of being taken seriously by a bunch of people who could have been swayed specifically on the vaccine question. And they do that throughout. Then there's a Sasquatch. And it's like, why am I seeing a Sasquatch conspiracy theory video at the beginning of a vaccine commentary documentary? Why Black Bear says, I think they landed on the moon, but the video we saw is bullshit. Doesn't matter what you believe. It's really not good practice to be combining your uncertain claim with other uncertain claims. FixDSM says there was a Loch Ness monster shot too. Lol. Yeah, I mean, why? Why? Like, if you're telling me this is you could have made a moving intro, taking the side of, you know, the injured vaccine victims. You could have went scientific. There's different directions, but one direction you don't take. Is to associate with various different conspiracy theories for which you won't even be making a case. Now there's Tom Hanks and there's whole discussion on Malthusian theory. Plenty of resources leads to population rise, and then there's not enough resources and so the population crashes. All sorts of worries about overpopulation. It's all good to hear that some elites think that there's too much people on Earth, but the documentary totally fails at showing the link between the vaccine hurting people and this. It's the only proposed links that is explicitly stated. And that is explicitly supported would be the statement by Bill Gates, who says, well, if we're doing well with, you know, birth rates and the vaccines, then we can reduce the population by 15%. It's a very tiny thread of support for this whole claim that we are currently in a depopulation program intentionally using the vaccine to do so. And, you know, the vaccine, although I'm worried about the injuries and the death that it causes, it certainly doesn't look like a super efficient depopulation tool. We're not to the point where where there are zombie towns, you know? So to me, the lack of an exploration of a much simpler hypothesis, which is, yeah, the vaccine has hurtful effects, and yes, they are being ignored and it's bad, rather than jump to the conclusion it's a depopulation program. To me, it lacks, that's what lacks. It's an analysis of the simpler and more obvious hypothesis, which would make the documentary look so much more reasonable. Because then, if you want me to think that this is a depopulation program, who's involved in it? Is it just Bill Gates who wants this, or are all of the nurses in some kind of parallel society all aware of this program? What's the degree of intentionality in the laying out of this depopulation plan and agenda? There is too much unanswered question and too much unsupported lines of inquiry here for me to... And I'm not saying it's impossible that one day there would be some depopulation program just deployed in front of us and aggressively and against us. And to a certain extent, a lot of the ideological programs like academia, like feminism, could be argued to be depopulation programs of some kinds. But then we would have a reasonable discussion about what is it to intend to reduce population? How much layers of wanting it and knowing that you're doing it do you need to be an intentional depopulation program? Rather than just take the extreme that this documentary takes, which is it is a plan of the elite. George says, JF, it's been hypnotized into brains of the university educated. Well, you know, that's a longer case to make, that basically ideas are seeping in that are leading to people's death. See, that would be a reasonable phrasing. But we don't even get that kind of reasonable phrasing in this documentary. This documentary presents you, the elites want you dead, and therefore they deployed the vaccine so that you died. And why take the most hard-to-support possible interpretation? Why do this? Why not be more reasonable to convince more reasonable people? Another good aspect is they show the silencing and of a doctor, you know, a woman who calls herself a whistleblower. And yes, that makes no doubt. And although the documentary doesn't go super in-depth into the silencing and censorship aspect, at least it's there, it's present. Now, there's the claim that 40% rise in insurance claims for the 18 to 64 years old. Now, I've seen a couple of media report this. I have no raw access to the data. It's certainly a worrying fact. It's a worrying thing that 40%, if that's the case, that there's a 40% rise in young people dying and claiming insurance. That is something I can't verify. But it seems, you know, just Googling it and seeing the articles about it, it seems that there's some basis for claiming this. Then there's a review of the whole Senate hearing with Senator Johnson. The problem with this particular video is, okay, those are highly interested people mentioning statistics like 1,000% increase in neurological issues in pilots of the American Army. And the problem is it due to the population aging? Is it due to the population aging plus COVID? Or is it due to the vaccine? Again, a lack of scientific processing. We're just being thrown numbers like this. 1,000% increase in neurological issues in pilots. Is the vaccine a possible explanation for it? Yes. Is the vaccine the only explanation for it? No. So what do I do as a scientist? I must watch this documentary and say, the evidence gathered is not enough for me to conclude that it's the vaccine for sure, or that it's even likely to be the vaccine. Because the fact that it happened in 2021 is not enough to call it an effect of the vaccine. It's certainly a fact that demands some further investigation. But normally that's the job of the documentarist to do the further investigation. The problem with this documentary is that it doesn't do the extra work that would be needed. It just gives us a personal look into a mortician's personal advice on the question and a this given doctor's personal advice on the question and this expert in obstetrics on the question. But even these doctors, even if they see thousands of patients, they still don't have statistical power. They could be deceived. They could be fooled. That's the whole idea of science, that the scientist can be fooled and that therefore he needs a method and he needs to reach a statistical threshold for his discovery to be standing out. They don't reach that threshold with the documentary. Tillman says, Jeff, what is that that they are pulling out of arteries, long rubber band looking material? So they say they call it a white fibrous structure. There's something also deceptive about just the showing of those. First, pulling blood clots from blood vessels is a relatively common thing. Now, their claim is, well, we never see them in those blood vessels. You would see a blood clot in a vein. We see them in arteries. I don't know because I'm not a mortician, but I can tell you that a lot of the structures, like at some point, I think they're opening the heart at the end of, they're looking at the heart surgery. And they see the doctor, he pulls out a gigantic blood clot from a living heart, from a living person. And the problem is, clotting existed before the COVID vaccine. So again, you don't have the statistical knowledge. Did it increase? Is it possible that they hadn't noticed the morticians, but that this has been there on a percentage of their patients before? And so what is it? They say it has some kind of protein constitution of some kind. To me, they look like blood clots that eventually when you cure them, you see that they're white and that they were not formed by blood. Another deceptive aspect is I feel that much of those that you see that are white and rubbery, I think those have been kept in formaldehyde. That is a natural reaction of a lot of tissues, like the human brain. If I take a piece of human brain from a living human brain, it's going to fall. It's really like jello, and it's translucent, bloody, and it might actually crumble in pieces. Not much force is needed for it to crumble like a piece of butter. Now, if I put it in formaldehyde, it becomes this rubbery white brain that is malleable, that will be relatively solid, that will react like rubber. So the problem is a lot of the fiber structure that we see on video, their textures, when they play with it, I suspect they have been put in formaldehyde for the purpose of preservation. Stray's channel says, from the images, I assumed it was the thickened endothelial lining of the vein or artery. Could be stemming from within the blood, or it could be an expansion or inflammation of the very endothelial layer. I don't have insight on this. So what's there to say about these white fibrous structures? I want them to be investigated, but the way the documentary does it is not sufficient to take a conclusion, even that the vaccine is causing those, because we don't get to see data. We don't get to see comparison between unvaccinated and vaccinated. We only get morticians just looking at it and thinking, hey, that's weird. Silver Spider says, when I was in college, I dissected a sheep brain. I didn't know it would normally be that soft. Well, the sheep brain you dissected was probably already in formaldehyde. Because I don't think they would give you a sheep brain that has not been fixated in some way. Especially if you're young, there would be dangers. So the reality is the real brain in the sheep, in the living sheep, is 10 times softer and more crumbly and less solid than the one you probably handled in your surgery. Or maybe you were handed a butcher's brain just straight out of the sheep, so perhaps you've experienced the full softness of it. I don't know. Then there's the whole Steve Kirsch interaction with the police. So the documentary stumbles upon showing us Steve Kirsch, this insane guy, who we've seen is just fundamentally humanly disgusting as an individual, in his way of interacting, in his ways of speech, as we've seen on the Brett Weinstein interview. He's just an annoying individual of the internet, and with no basic politeness and no basic self-awareness. Now, this guy, we're supposed to take him as a victim of police harassment, because they show us the video of the police knocking at his door. And it's presented like I'm supposed to think Steve Kirsch is an oppressed free thinker. And it's unbelievable in 2022 that the police is going after thinkers. The problem is that Steve Kirsch is really a disgusting individual who deserves to have the police sent after him. The thing is, we get to learn, if you listen carefully to what the police say, they were not going to harass him because of his opinion. It's because Steve Kirsch has been annoying another doctor, a woman doctor, who doesn't want to hear about his data. But he really wants to put it in her face. So he's been harassing her, he's been going at her home without her permission, just to make his little clip video of, hey, look, I'm confronting you with the data. Now that you've seen my data. And the thing is, someone has the right not to want to engage with you, Steve Kirsch. And if you repeatedly engage with someone who has somehow indicated, either through their behavior or through their lack of behavior, that they are not willing to welcome you on their land, you are committing trespassing. So this whole section of the documentary further discredits the positioning of the documentarist here, because then it's, oh, you're asking me to take the side of Steve Kirch. Now that's a big order, my friend, because this guy is delusional. Now, at some point, he drops that there is Israeli evidence that they lied to us. And the documentary just asks us to accept this statement on belief. But I went looking for, because I remember he had a Substack article claiming this. And the supposed evidence is him saying that he has evidence, but that we have to write an email to him to get the evidence. Prove that Israel found serious safety problem with the COVID vaccines, then deliberately covered it up. Israel didn't start to gather safety data until a year into the vaccine program. This is the most important article I've written to date. This one article has enough information regarding both harms and corruption that it should bring down the house of cards if there is just one honest person in a position of authority in the world. We have proof that blah blah blah, and it's a guy claiming he has proof. No public obtainability of these documents. There's nothing that is data in there. It's all him making advance over interpretations of what he supposedly have. And then he ends by saying, write to me if you want the data, if you want the proof. Anyways, I was unsatisfied by this layout. Like, this is someone basically visibly super excited about his so-called exclusive. But I'm trying to look at this and find what is the data here that shows me that they knew they would hurt us and that they still did it. All I see is a different interpretation about the arms of the vaccine. No one is denying that there's an arm to the vaccine. It turns out that the people in power decided that the arm was, they considered it small. Steve Kirch considers it big. So be it. There's a difference of subjective evaluation here. But I don't find this sufficient to make the claims that Steve Kirch runs around and says, in fact, that people should be obligated to interact with him and take his data, take the data that he so wanted to show that woman, which he ended up being visited by the police because. YouTube Refuge says, JF, any thoughts on virus denial? I got banned from Sam Bailey's channel for pointing out the virus has distinct symptoms. I don't think there's much seriousness in denying the existence of COVID. The virus is there. It's been genetically characterized, genetically found. And there's a whole branch of the internet interested in denying them that. They will tell you the virus exists, but it's not the virus that causes the symptoms. I don't think it's super serious. There's people like this for HIV. There's people who do it for COVID. What can I say? You can impose some arbitrary demands on the threshold at which you will accept a scientific fact. But if you are that demanding on HIV and the flu causing the very symptoms that we know of these viruses, then I can't help you. You're not going to do much science. You will reject a lot of things. Now, you can. I just don't know why you would want to impose this threshold of saying, well, I won't believe that HIV causes AIDS as long as I don't see a person put in a cage, injected intentionally with HIV, and then I want to see the AIDS come out of him. I'm sorry, we won't do that experiment. It would be cruel. So until then, you're going to have to believe the very correlation-based but very solid data that indicates that HIV causes AIDS. Phytosoraptor says, and something, the Earth is flat. Yes, some do. So a few last comments on Died Suddenly, because my voice can't take it anymore, and anyways, I've gone through my list. Then we are shown a statistical claim with a bell curve, and that's one of the most ridiculous mathematically part of the documentary, where they say, we counted the stillbirth rate in this California hospital. It has 40 sigma separation from the average expected. So instead of having 13 stillbirths per whatever, you had 40 stillbirths per whatever, or something like this. Don't quote me on the numbers, but then they show you the bell curve of the normal, and they show you that, oh, this California hospital is right here on the statistics. And then they show you, and this is in Waterloo, Toronto, that many stillbirths, and now you're getting even further from the bell curve. And they say probability 0%. And they even do it further down the line for another hospital. And the problem with this is I do want to believe that, you know, there are some stillbirths that have been caused by the vaccines and that will never declare it officially. I want to believe this. But the statistics that you're showing me is bullshit. You cannot cherry pick and then be impressed that your cherry picking is outside of the bounds of the normally expected statistic. These numbers, like, oh, there was 40 stillbirth here at this hospital. Why did you hear about this hospital first? Well, a nurse called us and she was worried because she was seeing high stillbirths. Now you end up with an entropic problem of statistic handling here. You cannot use a cherry pick statistic and compare it to a mean of a truly average statistic. When a mean difference becomes interesting is when you gather those means through the same method. So for example, I'm going to go into a room with 100 people. I'm going to pick 10 people out of random. And then I'm going to do some reading on them and I'm going to put them back in the room. And then I'm going to go again in the room and I'm going to pick 10 people. If you have the same method the two times, then your means will compare and then a strong separation of those means will be impressive. But if you're telling me I'm going to wait out, I'm going to take my first 10 pick out of per random, then I'm going to leave the room, and for the next 10 people, I'm not going to go and pick them at random. I'm going to let them into a warmer and warmer room, and the first 10 that come out saying, I can't take it anymore, it's too hot in here, I'm going to pick them and compare them to the mean. Of course, these 10 people will be extremely different. They will be weaker people who perhaps are more sweaty, perhaps are more fat, so they can handle a little less heat or restricted oxygen environment. Perhaps they will be more claustrophobic. if you do two measures, but your second measure is fundamentally a cherry-picking exercise, then the difference between the means is not impressive anymore. And the problem is that the specific hospitals that they chose to gather statistics from were self-cherry-picked. That is, it was nurses from within those maternity wards that have called either a doctor or they've called the Stu Peters, the guy who produces this documentary, and they've expressed their worry. So extremely bad mathematical handling there. So overall, what are we left with? A movie that at times shows emotional stuff, like the true vaccine injuries that have ruined people's life, and that's good. The true concerns of this doctor female who thinks that there may not be baby making anymore on the planet. Now, that's overly exaggerated, but at least she has emotion. The emotion is good. The media, like Don Lemon and Gene Simmons, at the end of the documentary, we see them bash the unvaccinated, say they shouldn't have rights, etc. All of this is very good. But the science, the probabilistic handling, the mathematical handling, the scientific and biological approach is super bad. So overall, it's a movie that will be easily debunked by anyone who wants to destroy the movie, and it's going to be even harder to make the case that there is some serious issue with this vaccine. Silver Spider says, JF, you should have just reviewed Sonic the Hedgehog 2 instead of this. I would hate if I had to review Sonic the Hedgehog 2, because the number one was very, very bad. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.